You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Earlier this year, Anjali Grantham launched what she dubbed Juno's Climate Change Solutionist Project. She began with a First Friday portrait gallery and a series of newspaper articles that featured profiles of 10 community members doing their part to protect the planet. Here on Juno Afternoon, we've been trying to spend some time with each person Grantham has spotlighted. And with that, I'd like to introduce my first guest today, Andy Romanoff. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. Andy, you wear a lot of hats. You're a graphic artist, a wilderness guide, a passionate advocate for electric cars and heat pumps and anything that can lower Juno's carbon footprint. Tell me a little bit about your story, your background, how you got to where you are.
Well, I guess I want to just acknowledge Anjali Grantham's great work with this Climate Solutionist program. It's, you know, it's a fantastic collection of people that she's put together, and I've got to say I'm really honored to be a part of this group. And you know, there's some amazing people on that list that she's pulled together, some true solutionists. And I see myself on there, and I think, wow, you know, that's pretty neat that I made the cut, so to speak, you know, wearing all these hats and whatnot. But, you know, I don't have my doctorate, and I'm not a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon, but I made the list, and it makes me think that anyone can make the list of solutionists, of climate solutionists, because we all have skills and talents and abilities that can be put to the task. And really, you know, the climate crisis is a pretty big deal, and we really all need to be solutionists. And so I hope during our time together on the radio today, I can actually talk a little bit about all the various solutionists that are in town, the various groups that are involved, because there's so many in town. There's so many people doing good work and necessary work. But for me, what really kind of set me off finally to get off the couch and get to work was standing in front of my monitor diesel stove at home one day, 4 or 5 years ago, and feeling the heat from it and thinking about where that heat was coming from. And I realized it was coming from fuel, you know, from diesel fuel that probably, let's just say, it came from the North Slope and traveled the pipeline and was loaded into a barge and taken down to the Northwest to a refinery and then refined and brought back up to Juno on a barge and loaded into the tank farm and then into a truck and then into my tank. And all of a sudden it's in my living room. And I thought, what the heck? This heat has traveled like 3,000 miles and burned a whole ton of oil to get to my living room. And that was it. I got a heat pump. I was sold right there and then. And that spurred me to action.
Well, we're going to talk about heat pumps and all of that. You mentioned there's some organizations, a lot of organizations around town working towards the effect of climate change. You're the program lead for Juno Carbon Offset Fund. What is that, and how do carbon offsets work?
Yeah, well, you know, to be clear, and a lot of people find all this confusing, and it is confusing because there's various organizations. The Juno Carbon Offset Fund isn't even an organization. It's a project. It's a project of Renewable Juno being the nonprofit forum to educate and advocate for increasing the use of Juno's renewable energy resources. And so if I can kind of back up a little bit, all of these organizations in town, Interfaith Power and Light, 350 Juno, Alaska Heat Smart, Renewable Juno, 4 different nonprofits, all basically striving to lower Juno's carbon footprint, individual footprints, the city's carbon footprint, business carbon footprints. All of us are essentially, you know, one thing we're doing is pushing to decrease the emissions caused from space heating. About 28% of Juno's energy use in total goes to just heating our buildings and our homes and businesses. And heat pumps are a great way to eliminate those emissions because they use Juno's hydroelectricity. And so Renewable Juno pushes that hard, and we obsess over it, and we love heat pumps, and we're just kind of nuts about them. And we realized that in doing this, we're promoting heat pumps, we're educating people. We thought, wow, we're really missing a huge section of the population, a huge segment of town, which is the lower income families and households who often are paying more for power. With electric resistance heat or inefficient boilers or furnaces. And so we realized that we needed to come up with something. And carbon offsetting was kind of taken off a few years ago, or it has been for a while. And so we developed our own carbon offset program. Carbon offset, we like to now kind of say carbon reduction, kind of separate ourselves from some of the bigger issues that are happening with carbon offsetting. But essentially for people who have done all they can or are doing all they can to lower their carbon footprint, list of things they can do. We all have additional impact no matter what we do. And so many businesses are choosing to pay us to deal with that impact. And so they can go onto our website at junocarbonoffset.org and select various options or punch numbers into a calculator and come up with their impact, their carbon output, and basically pay us. Money goes into a fund. It's managed by the Juno Community Foundation. And then we take that money and apply it to qualified lower income family applicants who've applied to our program and make the cut, so to speak. And we put heat pumps in their homes. We just yesterday finished our 20th Juno lower income family home, put a heat pump in there. So it's 20 in just under 2 years.
So what is it about heat pumps as an appliance, as a project, that makes it possible to have more accessible renewable energy to low-income homeowners?
Well, a heat pump is super efficient. It uses electricity. Picture your electric baseboards, all along the lower parts of your living room wall or your kitchen wall or whatnot. Those things basically create heat. They take electricity, they slow it down, cause resistance like your toaster oven or your electric oven, and they create heat, which takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to create heat. Where a heat pump doesn't do that, it just moves heat. It captures heat energy outside the walls of your house and moves it inside, kind of like your refrigerator takes the heat from inside the box and moves it outside. And so they're super efficient. You can save roughly 50% of your home heating bill if you're oil or resistance heat by installing a heat pump. And so we're not only eliminating emissions from these lower income family homes, but we're saving these people between $600 and $1,200 a year for a lot of them. And that's a big deal when you're living on, we had one person who's living on like $12,000 a year, 30, 40, 50, 60 for a family, it's pretty tight. So if you can save $1,000 a year, fantastic.
What's the overall impact of heat pumps on climate change? Anjali references Project Drawdown in a lot of her interviews. Where are heat pumps on that list?
You got me there. Good question. I'm not exactly sure. Not exactly sure. I haven't looked at the Drawdown book in a while. It's an amazing resource. But I'm not sure where in the 1 to 100 it sits on that. But heat pumps and the use of heat pumps has really taken off globally. And their use is recognized as a major component of reducing climate impact, especially as we start to decarbonize electric grids around the nation and the world, getting off natural gas, generating our electricity with more wind, with more solar, and other renewable sources. Then to take that and have a super efficient heating system, you can really lower your emissions. So every home, for instance, that we affect with a heat pump, we're roughly eliminating, we basically average about 500 gallons of home heating fuel a year per home, eliminated, removed from the system. And at 22.4 pounds of carbon dioxide per gallon, it's about 11,000 pounds of CO2 a year per home. And so when you start adding these numbers up in Juneau, in Alaska, and the entire nation, the world, all of a sudden you're seeing huge reductions in carbon emissions. So it has a huge role. Basically, electrification of transportation, electric buses, electric cars, and then home heating through heat pumps are really the two big, climate change players that are on the table today.
You manage the Juno Carbon Offset Fund on a volunteer basis. You talked about this a little bit, but what motivates you to put your time and energy towards this project?
Yeah. It's all volunteer. My wife calls it my second job. I just Libby Roderick, an Anchorage musician, came to town a few years ago. She played at the Northern Light Church. And she just said this great thing. She said lots of great things, as she always does. But she said, advocacy is the rent we pay for living on this earth. And I thought, that is so brilliant. And she also said something like, if you could take how much free time you have in a week, 5, 10, 20 hours, and take a quarter of that and do something constructive with it, give it to some cause. I've kind of given to causes all my life, but while I was having kids and raising the kids and all that, it was much harder to do. And so now that the kids are out of the house and they're off living their lives, doing great things, I was able to get inspired by my monitor stove and all these great people in town doing this good work. And it just feels good. It feels good to help families in need. It feels good to know that we're moving the needle and installing heat pumps and eliminating oil. And it's a big change. It's a huge change locally, nationally, globally, but we moved away from horses and we moved away from landlines and we moved away from dial up. And now it looks like it's time to move away from oil.
To me, there's a lot of appeal to working on something that addresses both the climate crisis and issues around social justice, equity, affordable access to renewable energy, and it must be very fulfilling. But what are some of the challenges?
Some of the challenges? Well, for instance, during COVID, and still now, people just feeling like they have extra money to pay for this impact that they're creating. Is a challenge. So it's a challenge to get money coming in to pay for these systems. Each home roughly costs about $5,000 to throw a heat pump at. And so, we're raising all that money either through grants, through people recognizing their own impacts and taking responsibility for it. So that's a big challenge. Getting the word out is a big challenge. We really rely on social media and yard signs at the homes we work on and great programs like this one right here. Thank you. Thanks to you and K2 and others. A big challenge is separating ourselves from the larger kind of offset situations that are happening with forestry projects and stuff where kind of offsetting is getting sort of a bad rap in a lot of ways. And some of it's due and maybe some of it's not. But we're trying to call ourselves maybe more of a carbon reduction program than a carbon offset program, even though we are truly offsetting. But I guess those are some of the challenges. I feel like the challenges aren't all that challenging, really, in that I feel like we're way ahead of where I thought we'd be after almost 2 years, and it's pretty exciting. We're negotiating right now with some bigger players in town, some of the cruise lines and larger corporations in town, tour companies, and we brought on a lot of great people and great businesses. And we have their support. And if I can, I'd like to just throw out a couple. I really want to thank Sentinel Coffee and Copa Cafe and Alaska Litho and Bosworth Botanical Consulting and Mark Berry Specialty Contracting and MRV Architects and Sitka Salmon Shares and a bunch of others who work with us. And we've got about 24 monthly subscribers who just offset every month. It just happens automatically. They did that through our web store at junocarbonoffset.org. And we've had about another couple hundred people offset on occasion with us and send money our way to help us out and to help out these families and help out with emissions reduction. Great stuff.
In Ann Julie's article, you're quoted as saying, "The impact is bigger than you, and that's important to know." Can you speak to the ripple effect you've witnessed after that first home in a neighborhood installs a heat pump?
Yeah, well, it's the ripple effect is massive. So I love to think of the ripple effect and love to talk about it because so many people, the majority probably, are just overwhelmed with climate change and the climate crisis. Oh my gosh, I'm just this tiny little person in this massive world, and what can I do? I can't do anything. But it's just not true, especially when you make a change and you speak about it and you share it. And your impact then can grow, and it's kind of contagious. For instance, I bought my Nissan Leaf 5.5 years ago, and just raved about it to everybody. And friends are driving it, and then friends are buying them, and then people are seeing it. And hey, what's that? And let me try that thing out. And I think my little Nissan Leaf probably spawned about 20 other Nissan Leaf purchases And so I thought, wow, you know, my little impact here of not burning gas in my car has now spread to 20 cars not burning gas. And same with heat pumps. We put in a heat pump at our house, and now the neighbor's got one. He installed one himself. And a family down the road was looking at one. We've had probably a dozen families come over to check it out and hear about it. And of course, I get on this soapbox and just start raving about it and become the heat pump evangelist. And so our impact is not isolated within ourselves. And I think that's so important to know, that as long as we share it and address it and speak about it, as climate scientist Catherine Hayhoe said, and so the most important thing you can do about climate change is talk about it. And don't keep it a secret. Share it, you know, share your concerns, share your solutions. And so we can all be solutionists in that way, because our little impacts grow and they spread and they're contagious and they have, you know, a greater impact than we realize, or than we may realize.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Andy Romanoff, the program lead for Juno Carbon Offset Fund and one of the featured Junos Climate Change Solutionist by Anjuli Grantham. Andy, thank you so much for speaking with me today and answering all my questions and sharing your knowledge and getting on your soapbox. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners before we say goodbye today?
Yeah. Thanks so much, Shelley. Yeah, I guess I want to say to folks, you know, if we all can be solutionists, you know, look at yourself and ask yourself, what are my skills? Am I a good speaker? Am I a good writer? Am I good with numbers? Am I, you know, in love with social media? You know, all these organizations, Interfaith Power and Light, 350, Alaska Heat Smart, Renewable Juno, you know, can all use help all the time. And so call them up, get on their websites and send an email and say, hey, here's what I'm good at. Here's what I can maybe, you know, offer, and then, you know, take part and feel good about it. And then of course, talk about that and share it and bring your friends and family on board as well. So the more the merrier. We all need to kind of get on this path together and see where we can take it.
I think that's a great note to end on. Thank you so much for this interview today, Andy.
Yeah. Thank you, Shelley. Appreciate it.
Yep. Take care. Have a great afternoon.
Hey, you too.